Good morning. Today we are continuing to study in Hebrews part 1. And today our lesson is in Hebrews chapter 2, and we're on lesson number 6. So let us begin our study in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come to you and know that you're always present. And Father, that you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and you are holy and righteous God. And we're so thankful, Father, to have the Holy Spirit dwell in our hearts that Jesus sent after he went back and sat down at your right hand. And we're so thankful, Father, that you wrote your word down with your finger, and you instilled your word into those that you have had to write it down for us today. And I pray now, as we come together, that you will teach us, guide us, lead us, direct us. And Father, give us the wisdom and the knowledge to understand your truths. And we give you all the honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's begin our study by doing a review to see what we have learned so far in the first 5 lessons. We've studied so far chapter 1, and today our study is going to chapter 2. But first of all, to whom was the book of Hebrews written originally? We learned that it was written to the Jewish believers who had endured suffering to a degree. And why was it written? What was the purpose of it being written? And we learned also that it was a word of exhortation, a word of encouragement to these Jews that were suffering for the cause of Christ. And who was it about? What is the book of, or who is the book of Hebrews about? And we have learned so far that it's about Jesus, our great high priest. Now, some of the key words that we have already learned in this first chapter is better than, exhortations, warnings, let us, draw near, confidence, and assurance. So, what did we learn, or what have we already learned? That there are 3 segments to the book of Hebrews telling us what it's about. First, we know that chapter 1 was about verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1. God spoke to us by his Son in these last days. And then chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, his Son is better than or superior to the angels. And then verses 5 through 14, the word for, exclamation or teaching about God's Son that is better than angels. Now, as we go forward, we are going to look at Hebrews chapter 2, and we're first starting with the first 4 verses of chapter 2, and I will read those verses and then we will discuss. Verse 1, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unaudible, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, after it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard? Now, God, verse 4, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Now, these verses, the thought about the Son being better than angels or superior, continues from chapter 1 through chapter 2 to 5:18. And in 2 that we're on today, verse 1 through 4, is a warning about listening to what God spoke in or by his Son. And we saw that in verse 1. He says, for this reason, we must pay attention, much closer attention, pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. So, what is the warning, and who is it to, and how then can we apply it to ourselves? First of all, it says, for this reason, therefore, that God spoke to us in and by his Son, not like he spoke to the fathers long ago in or by the prophets, and not like he spoke through the angels to the prophets, to the fathers. And then he goes on to say, we must pay much closer attention. Pay attention is to hold up, to turn to attend to hold the mind on or the ear towards someone. So this is a warning. You need to pay attention. Pay attention to the word spoken by his Son, not just to the word spoken through angels to the prophets in the Old Testament. And the recipients were Jews who had been raised on the Old Testament law and prophets, and they knew and practiced it by habit from childhood. Now, another word that was used there to pay attention, that they won't drift away. So to drift away is to find oneself flowing or passing by without giving due heed to a thing, suggesting a gradual and almost unnoticed movement past a certain point, divinate from something such as the truth. And the author called them to turn their minds and their ears toward what God spoke and by, in and by his Son, Jesus, the truth about salvation, so that they didn't flow past it or divinate from it. So this is a warning that we see in these verses. The word is speaking that these Jewish Hebrew believers are to pay close attention to what Jesus has said by his word, that they won't drift away from it. And now, how does verse 2 explain this? Let's look at some scripture. in Acts. We're going to look at Acts, and I want to pull this up and find Acts here. And I want to read some scripture from the Old Testament in the book of Acts. This is when Stephen was preaching in Acts 7, verse 38. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us. Stephen quoted Israel's history here from the Old Testament. And let me read some more scripture, Acts 7, 51 through 53. Stephen said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." So here we see Stephen is, as I said, is quoting Israel's history from the Old Testament when he was giving his defense before the Jewish council in Jerusalem. And of course, this was several years before Hebrews was written. Now, let's look at Galatians 3:19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of the mediator. So here we see again that the purpose of the law, it was added because of transgression. The scripture tells us that it was unalterable because it was written by angels. And in Hebrews 10:28, we're going to read some more scripture the Old Testament that was written about Moses in the Old Testament. Let's read Hebrews 10:28-29. "Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much more worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" This is another warning to the recipients of the Hebrews. Anyone who set aside the law through neglect or willful sinning died without mercy. And those who neglect or willfully reject the gospel of Jesus Christ will receive a much severer punishment. So, what does it seem is the purpose of signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Spirit? God testified to confirm what he spoke. Now let's go on and let's read Hebrews 2, 5 through 9. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you can take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, under man, he left nothing that is not put under him, under man. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Now, what are these verses saying? The world was subjected in the beginning to man and not to angels. But we know that man is lower than angels. And for a little while, Jesus, and this is the first time his name is in Hebrews, was made lower than the angels so that he might taste death for everyone. So, we relate this back to verse 3, that salvation came because of Jesus' death, and it's nothing to neglect. Now, let's go on and read verses 10 through 13 of chapter 2. For it was fitting for him, to whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. So here we see that these verses are saying that Jesus' suffering is mentioned to us. We already looked at in 9 and 10, and salvation comes through his suffering. That's what we just read in verse 10. That Jesus that it brings salvation. And these verses they say that Jesus called God's sons his brethren, his brothers. Let's go on and read now in chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Now, as we have read earlier, we've seen where it's mentioned therefore, and why is it? In other words, he is saying, since he called God's children brothers, Jesus became flesh and blood like them, so that through his death he might free them from the fear of death and free them from slavery. We as these Hebrew believers today, as believers, we too are freed from the penalty of death. We are free because of Jesus, of what he did for us. We're free from the fear of death, and we're free from slavery. We're no longer a slave to sin. And he also rendered the devil, we see in these verses, powerless. And then verse 16 mentions angels again. They're not helped by Jesus. He only gives help to the descendants or the offspring of Abraham. That's people, not angels. And the second, therefore, is that Jesus was made like his brethren to become their merciful and faithful high priest to make propitiation for the sins of the people. There is three important things about our salvation in these verses. And I'll just point these out. Through his death, he freed people from death and slavery. Number two, through his priesthood, he made propitiation for their sins. And number three, through his temptation, he helps those who are tempted. Now, we will end our study today just taking a look at what chapter 1 and chapter 2 is about. And we can bring all of this to our mind as we study through prayer. Hebrews 1, we learn that God spoke in his Son, or through his Son. And we also learned that his Son, Jesus, is better than and superior than the angels. And then in chapter 2, today's lesson was a warning, and it says, pay attention to what you have heard. And why do you pay attention? So that you don't drift away. Don't escape or neglect salvation. And it was first spoken through the Lord, and it was confirmed by those who heard to us. And this is the author of speaking to the Jewish believers and to all believers today, to know that it was confirmed through our Lord, and it was confirmed by those. It was spoken by our Lord and confirmed by those who heard to us. So that will finish our study for today. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, I pray that as we continue to study your word, to study what the author you gave him to write down through the Holy Spirit, that we may know more about your Son, Jesus, and that we may understand your truths and understand, Father, what a great salvation that we have through the blood of Jesus. Do teach us through your Holy Spirit as we continue to study. We give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise because you alone, Father, are worthy. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.